Tired of all the bugs in your yard? Enjoy your backyard again with Cutter Backyard Ready to Spray Bug Control at Menards. It kills mosquitoes, fleas, ticks, and other insects fast, controlling them for up to 12 weeks. A 32-ounce Ready to Spray container covers up to 5,000 square feet and is on sale now through July 13th. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to Outsiders Podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Woodall, and to my angry left.
Who are you talking to? Me? Oh, yeah, I'm angry. It's me.
You should hear the pre-show.
No one had to hear my nonsense.
And you can get that pre-show on our Patreon.
You can't, unfortunately, because I wasn't recording.
We'll do it again.
I'm Bryce.
He's back.
I'm back. Yeah, okay. Also, you made it seem like last time I wasn't coming back.
I know.
Bryce is no longer with us.
That was the...
What? I heard that and I was like, what are you talking about, dude? I was just not here.
I know.
The doctors did everything they could, and he will make it.
Either he's...
It's a miracle.
Either he's dead or he quit. Did he quit? I don't know.
When we announced that Bryce was leaving, we lost zero followers.
That's so mean. I'm going to cry.
That was...
Oh, you're probably right.
I thought that was by far the best part.
It was literally episode. How you so started funny. It. You started it with, Bryce is no longer with us.
Please keep that in.
It is
that's
it.
That's how Bryce found out.
Yeah, I was like, oh, did I get fired?
Who else got fired without them knowing about it?
Anyway, to my left.
Zach Wild.
Andrew McKinley. That's all. To my left.
Brett Welty. Also, that's all. And to my left.
Jim Cole.
Yeah. And we are all back together.
Band's
in
back
the same room.
Band's back together.
It's pretty nice.
Yep.
Well, for the most part. But yeah. Hey, Andrew's got a part.
Okay. We're not doing the holiday things this time around.
Ooh.
Changing it up a little bit. So recently Brandon and I have been enjoying videos and information about Steven Seagal.
I don't know why.
I mostly enjoy the comment section on YouTube.
One of the greatest.
Go find one of his videos. Don't watch the video, just start reading. Scroll down.
Do one of the shorts. Just read. You'll love it.
But I've got some jokes and some crazy facts about Steven Seagal.
Ooh.
We'll start with, there's some Chuck Norris-esque style Steven Seagal jokes.
Ooh.
I think they're just reskinned Chuck Norris jokes, actually, but that's okay. They're still good.
Let's find out.
So we got Steven Seagal's poker face is so legendary that when he plays, even the cards don't know if they should fold or call the bluff.
Oh.
The poker chips tremble in fear of his unshakable demeanor.
Oh.
Thank you.
That's hilarious.
The mic.
He got a lot of ranges in it.
I also can barely hear you, and I'm right here.
So I just need to talk louder?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, all right.
Maybe
also, part of why I'm angry is because we can't have headphones on tonight, and I'm sitting a few feet from Andrew, and I can't hear him.
I think we're going to find Bryce's bad side tonight.
No.
I doubt it.
Again.
Again. It's not that hard. Don't say I know.
I've been friends with you for
a while. I know. Okay, I'm sorry. Go, Andrew.
No, that's fine. This is a fact.
Is it a fact?
I think it's an opinion, but it's a pretty widely held one.
What is it?
That Steven Seagal was considered to be the worst host of Saturday Night Live
ever. Oh, that is heard a fact. That. That's like heard a fact. That. It was horrible.
He wouldn't come out.
I watched it.
He wouldn't come out.
Oh, really?
For certain skits, he wouldn't come out.
Wow.
Because he kept trying to control every skit and saying, this is funny. And people would be like, but have you ever made anything funny?
Most of his movies.
Hey, man. He had a streak of some good movies until he went straight to video. Those were tough.
Until he moved to Russia.
Yeah.
Well, really?
He's like a Russian citizen. He's like, that's actually in here. He's a Russian citizen now.
I know so little about Steven Seagal.
That's okay.
We're easier to educate you.
thank you, Andrew.
Education.
So Vladimir Putin and Steven Seagal have been friends since at least 2016.
That's fascinating.
And, that's wonderful. Thank you for that.
I
love it. Because Steven Seagal loves America.
He got to like skip the process of becoming a Russian citizen because he's friends with Putin. Yeah, so he just is. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it has it.
Which part? Go to Russia or become friends with Vladimir Putin?
I could become friends with Jordan Peterson.
That's true. Remember.
He's Canadian, though.
Well,
yeah. I mean, that's where Canada's going. Canada's
like a stepping stone to Russia.
Have you seen the guy? This is so way off track. Have you seen the guy that's running against Justin Trudeau, though?
Dude, he's a monster.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
He's awesome.
He is awesome.
A good way?
Yes.
Okay. In a very, very good way.
A good monster? Okay. Yeah.
He's a beast.
So Steven Seagal actually has an album.
Of music?
Yes, yes. He worked with Stevie Wonder.
No.
They look similar.
To release an album called...
Like Hairwise.
Stevie Wonder didn't see it coming.
Songs from the Crystal Cave.
So, was this about Indiana Jones?
No.
If only. It's like Kenneth Copeland's album.
Yeah.
Wait. What?
No, he's got like two or three albums.
I know, but
they called him they called him the Elvis of Christian.
Who is they? Him and his wife.
I'm assuming so.
Okay.
The parishioners.
I write my own bios. Just like I write my own flight records.
Steven Seagal has no need for a wristwatch. He can stare at the sun and discern the time down to the millisecond.
Steven Seagal.
That is a reskin Chuck Norris joke, that's for sure.
Steven Seagal is the kind of person that would wait for everyone to fall asleep and then scream that he's falling asleep.
There is a reason that they don't call them all Steven Seagal can eat buffets.
Was it you that sent me that? Was Steven Seagal doing karate or something?
Yes.
Okay.
When you've got, UFC on your mind, but your body says KFC.
Dude, those comments were amazing. Oh.
This is a real story. And kind of sad, but also on point. Steven Seagal was sued for driving a tank and killing a dog.
Yes.
Oh my
gosh.
That
is true. Oh.
He drove the tank into a house.
What kind of dog?
I don't know what kind of dog.
Was it
a
really?
A slow one.
Because yeah. It was a tank.
Right? Come on.
Apparently
it wasn't like a horse or something useful.
Was it like a three-legged dog or?
A dog that couldn't get out of the way?
Yeah.
It's like that awesome power skit where like the cement paver.
Yes! Get out of the way!
Didn't make it.
Oh.
R.I.P. Right, that
okay.
dog.
Yeah.
How many you got left?
I think we
because I'm in pain.
I have a question. What's your favorite Steven Seagal movie? Mine's probably Under Siege 2. That's the one where he's on, not on a submarine, but the one on the train. And I bet you've never seen one because you're too young.
Not a single.
Well, you're too young. It came out in the 90s.
Too young.
You guys are too young. It came out in the 90s.
I've seen old movies. Sound of Music came out before I was
born.
Yeah,
like I wouldn't put, Under Siege 2 in like the same category as, the Julie Andrews vehicle that launched a, 70-year career.
Yeah, that's fair. She was the queen.
It's true.
Queen.
Steven Seagal is the reason why I thought it was a lot easier to break your neck than it actually is. Because he's like, I'm like, how if I turn my head too fast, am I going down?
I was scared to go to the chiropractor forever.
I know. I was like,
using his fingertips.
Steven Seagal is the reason why people like our friend Dr. Juan can't get clients sometimes. Yeah. I don't know. Sure, I saw a movie once where a guy did that and he was dead.
We'll end it with his spirituality.
Yikes.
Like, this is exciting how much Bryce is like, oh.
They can't see my body either.
When Steven Seagal meditates, his thoughts dare not wander off.
That's a good one.
Even his inner peace is unwavering.
All right. That was less painful than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, that's what we got.
Felt good, though.
That's all we got.
It did.
That's all we got.
It does make me doubt things.
That's all we have time for.
Segue. I was hoping someone was going to do it because I was going
to
do it.
How do you guys want to segue into the topic?
I highly doubt that Steven Seagal is a person. I think he's just a shell of a man.
Well,
he'll probably listen to it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Steven Seagal's going to listen to Outsiders.
He'll go and look like, who talked about me today?
If you hashtag Steven Seagal, like, I'm moving away.
Should
dude,
I?
I hope you do. I really hope you do.
He seems like the kind of guy that reads his own comments.
He's like, wow, people like me. People are talking about me.
Well, you sound like Donald Trump.
Well, he kind of.
They got a vibe.
Could have been like twin separated birth.
Goodness grief.
I don't know about that, but okay.
Steven Seagal.
We said we were done with Steven Seagal, but are we truly?
I think this is our topic tonight. We're talking only exclusively about Steven Seagal and how he somehow mixes in with Christianity. And now we're done.
I doubt it. I doubt we're going to do that.
Yeah. But yeah, we're going to talk about doubt tonight. We're going to hit it a little bit. Hopefully.
Probably get my notes out. Hold on.
Andrew, would you read the purple?
I will.
That's purple?
Well, it is on my tablet.
Okay. What brightness you got your screen at?
He's on dark mode.
Dark mode.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Is it too bright?
No, it's not bright enough.
I don't believe in bright.
I want to read yours from here.
Good luck.
Bright side.
I got to move my microphone so I can see my screen, Bryce.
We should get sponsored by Bryce.
I got to move my mic so I can see my screen.
Why are you pushing it down?
Because I couldn't see my screen.
Move your head. It moves.
That's not how heads work. All right, I'm going to
read. Laziest thing I've ever
heard. I'm going to read this thing. Shush.
All right. It's a story.
We're getting to from funny to serious now, right? The follower sat alone, his hands trembling as he held the sacred text, the words blurring together. The quiet of the room felt suffocating, as if the walls themselves were closing in with the weight of the questions that pressed heavily on his mind. He had always believed, or so he thought. But now, faith seemed distant, like an echo fading into the darkness. Does the Master really see me? Does he hear my cries? If he is good, why does suffering abound in the world? These thoughts churned relentlessly, gnawing at the foundation of what had once felt so sure. The follower had prayed, pouring out his heart in desperate petitions. Yet the silence that followed was unbroken, leaving him to wonder if his words had ever truly reached the Master's ears. Is this what it means to believe? He wondered, feeling as though something was missing. The weight of doubt pressed on his chest, threatening to swallow him whole.
So, today we are talking about doubt, and I think most of us here have probably gone through phases of that in our spiritual walk, where we're like, God, are you there? Do you hear me? Do you see what I'm going through? Or it's those times where God seems quiet and distant from us. And I want to hit 5 points on acknowledging our doubt, seeking understanding, embracing vulnerability through prayer or in prayer, and then look back on past experiences and then practice of patience. So let's get to that number one, acknowledging our doubt. So doubt is a natural part of our faith. Don't try to suppress it or ignore it. Instead, confront it head on. So the question would be, what specific doubts am I experiencing right now? Or where do they stem from? So let's say, hey, what doubts have you experienced when it comes to our walks with faith? If anyone wants to get so vulnerable, I could go first. But I think there have been times in my walk with God, where I think maybe life situations and just overwhelming things that come through life can kind of shake us a bit. Or like even younger in my, like younger in my walk with the Lord, I think it was easy to be like, well, I don't know how to like seek God. I don't know how to, is he there? Or yeah, just kind of dark moments of life sometimes can shake us if we don't know well enough, you know. But any thoughts?
I have a question.
Yes.
Is doubt a natural part of faith?
Sometimes.
Like, should
sometimes
we say that? Like, is it natural? Because I'm thinking of like a Hebrews 11:6. I would say without faith, it's impossible to please God. So I'm not saying that doubt doesn't happen, but like to say it's a natural part of faith, I think would be an overstatement. Like, I don't think we want to give like the freedom to say we should doubt. I think doubt should be something we address and deal with, but I think living in a state of doubt is not spiritually helpful for a Christian.
Yeah.
Would it be more accurate to say doubt is a natural part of living in the fallen world?
Yeah, I think that's
that's a good word. That's
every
good
believer
word.
Lives in the fallen world.
Right.
We're all going to experience
right.
it.
Yeah. Right.
And it's not something that we should feel is so shameful that we hide it from
right.
our brothers and sisters, but it's not necessarily a sign of a presence of faith in a person.
I just don't want to think that I don't want people to think it's like intellectually better to be a doubter or that
no,
the real Christians doubt, like just you dummies that have faith all the time are just, you know, ignorant, stupid people that don't know enough to think.
I would say the opposite too. Like, I would say that even pressing into that doubt and saying, okay, God, I'm feeling this, help me to not feel this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, that's just been a struggle in my spiritual walk.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a lot of doubt. And a lot of times I think it's because I've based most of my faith probably on the outcomes of people.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Instead of like the truths held by like in scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seems to me, for me, it's been kind of natural and reoccurring.
Yeah, I would say consistent. Know? I think some people can wrestle with it for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I agree with you. I think don't try to suppress it or ignore it. I think all that stuff is true. I'm just thinking, just from the language when I first heard that, I was like, I don't know if I agree that it's a natural part of faith.
Mm-hmm.
I think doubt and faith are actually contrary things, but I would say you can have faith.
I wonder if a better word would be like wrestle.
I don't think doubt negates our faith. I think it's in the maybe even in the midst of doubt that we exercise faith.
Mm.
I trust God in this. Almost like
that's good.
I treat it like a circumstance.
Like, courage isn't the absence of fear.
Mm.
It's actually facing the fear and moving forward and doing what we need to do. And I think faith and doubt can be the same way, that exercising my faith in the midst of the doubt.
Yeah.
I love the fact that when John was in prison and he's asking Jesus, or he sent his friends to ask Jesus, are you the one? So John is in some serious doubt here.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a long ways away. He's like in Galilee. And so his friends turn to leave and he turns to the crowd and says, John is the greatest among any man that's been born of woman, while he's in his doubt. Sometimes we think if we're in doubt, then we're less than.
Mm-hmm.
But here we see Jesus holding John up in the midst of his doubt as being greater than any other person who's walked the earth.
That's really good.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think in that cry of Mark 9:24 of I believe, but help my unbelief. I have to really hit that hard. I have to say that a lot to myself and remind that, like, okay, God hears me. I just need to be putting in a little bit of effort to not like sit in my grief or sit in my doubt and stew in it. Because I think left to ourselves, we will spiral and we will keep spiraling to the point of like, of this like doubt and unbelief.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to give in to the fear, yep. You know, when we need to move forward or do something, as opposed to showing the courage. And mm-hmm. we have that's the, kind of the same. It's pretty easy to give in to our doubt
yeah.
instead of stepping into the our trust in Christ.
Yeah. Maybe we should also think about defining doubt in the fact that what do we mean by when someone is doubting? Because I think there are some things. Like if we're doubting Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the only way to heaven, that's a different kind of doubt
mm-hmm.
than other kinds of doubt. Because I think also I doubt the historicity of Genesis, or I doubt, you know, other things that, again, I don't think you should doubt the historicity of Genesis, but what I am saying is that is a shade different than I don't believe what Christ, what God, or I don't believe that Jesus is the only way. I think I've told that story before too, where I've had people say to me that John 14:6, you just can't read it that way. I doubt that Jesus meant it that way. Well, that's tough. And so I think, like, when we say doubt, I think if we're talking about, I don't understand why I'm in this circumstance or situation, and it's causing me to question the goodness of God, which is essentially, you know, kind of where we're going. I think that can happen because, you know, our perspectives get messed up, and it's just like, I don't know how I got here. But other doubts, I think, are just non-starters. Like I doubt that Jesus is the way. Mm-hmm. I think that wouldn't then we're past the point of like faith. We're talking about, you know, complete and utter lack of faith in that. Whereas if we're questioning God's goodness, is I think a separate question that I think we're going to address eventually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's point number two would be seek understanding. So don't give up digging in the Word and finding those truths that God has promised us. Like that's the last thing we need to do in times of like questioning and doubt. Is we don't need to back away. I think those are the times we need to come like further in, and I think it'd be good for all of us to be open to when people are doubting. Like, you've done this for how long now? Like, don't say those kind of questions. Just be like, okay, let's walk together with this. Like, how can I help you stay on the path? How can I help you see the truth, see the light, kind of thing. I know they're, yeah, I can get that from you guys. But like maybe not everyone who listens to our podcast has a really tight knit group of people that can encourage them to like keep pushing the way, you know.
I think our perspective is really, really important. Mm-hmm. And like, is my doubt that God's gonna come through the way I want him to? Or is my doubt in that he's going to take care of me in the midst of everything? Because I think when we tie it up with me getting my way, I think we really start to blur the lines.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
That's really good.
I would say if someone's coming to you with doubts, Ephesians 4:15 would say, we want to speak the truth in love. Mm-hmm. So there's really no scenario where we would want to look down on somebody that's doubting. Yeah. Second thing I would say is on the other side of it, if you are doubting, assuming that people that you perceive to be more spiritually ahead of you would be unwilling to hear your doubts or being unwilling to talk with you about those things, it's just not true. Like you have to like fight that lie. Like if you're listening to us and you're like, I don't really have somebody, I don't know who to talk to. You know, if you go to a church, you know, I mean, you should go and speak to that's what a good pastor would want to do, is they want to help you walk through your doubts and concerns, you know, because that's what a pastor's called to help grow up Christians into their faith. And so if you feel like you're lacking or you feel like you're doubting, like that's kind of what they're meant to do.
Yeah.
So it's not an embarrassing or a shameful thing to have questions.
Yeah.
And I think if you're in some sort of spiritual or church culture that you feel embarrassed to have questions, first check to make sure that's not true. Like maybe it's just your perception.
Yeah.
If it is true, that's just not healthy. It's not good.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Our Western culture feeds into that. Mm. You know, we got to take care of ourselves. You know, we can't, yeah, the isolation, can't be depending on other people to help us. And
the hyper, like the
Lone Ranger.
Yeah, the ultimate individual.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
I got here on my own.
The self-made man or woman kind of thing. No, I think, like, for me, I'll tell a personal story. So you, most of you guys, well, yeah, you've all known me for, like, the last 4 years. Two of you have known me for a really long time. But the last 4 years in particular, from where I started to where I am now, when I had left the group in church and dream that I was going after, it really, like, it kind of shook me like spiritually a bit. And I had thought, I think you had said it, Brett, that you had thought I was about to walk away kind of thing. And I had remembered when I came to our current church that there was something there for me to be able to go to older men and, like, seek guidance. Like, I had not felt, I don't like to use, like, taboo words, but I didn't feel, like, safe enough to go to people, like, at my previous place, because it just felt really, I just felt ashamed. I was like, I've done this for a long time. People see me, I say things, but for some reason, it's not how it is outside of, like, a stage for me. And I mean, I made a blunder of my life for a really long time. And so that played a big effect in my thought pattern. But I think when I came here, I remembered I met with our pastor and I just started, like, emotionally vomiting pretty much. And just kind of, I was like, like, in table 32, like, my eyes are soaking with tears, like, because I just didn't know what to do. And I just felt like I was on a road to, I don't know if I believe this right now. I don't know if I ever will, like, help me kind of thing. And I mean, I meet with Brett pretty often, and I'm able to kind of, like, confide in him in some things too. And, but I just hadn't had that in my adult life, at least, you know. And so, like, to have it now has helped my faith and, like, helped me probably doubt less of the goodness of God, because I have people seeking the same thing on my side. And so I think when it comes to doubt, I hope the biggest thing is, like, find people that will walk with you and love you in your doubt. Because if you just isolate yourself and say, I'm going to handle my own way, it's never going to work. Like, you can't be on a boat by yourself. Like, you need a crew. You need to be able to hit the, like, when the waters come and they rise, like, we need each other to keep pushing each other through.
Someone said Lone Rangers earlier. Lone Rangers are dead Rangers.
Yeah.
They just are.
Yeah.
Time is short.
For sure. You want to add anything else? Can I keep going? Okay. I think we talked about point three pretty well.
We modeled point three.
We modeled it, yeah.
You embraced vulnerability. You told us the truth. Now just do that to God, and that's point three?
That's point three. There you are.
Nailed it.
Point four. So look back on past experiences. If you've had doubt in the past, look back and see that God has answered you. Even back then, I have to do that constantly. Mm. I have to remind myself of how good he has been to me, that he has provided for me all the way back. Like, when it comes to, when I doubt that I have enough money to make it to the next pay period, I have to look back and say, God, you have provided me food and my home, and I haven't lost anything. I have to remember, go back, like, or God, this person wronged me. Are you good? Well, yeah, you're good. You've never changed. All the way in the back. So, yeah. Have any of you, like, felt and can see that now, the years that you've been following God, that if you doubt in the moment, that if you look back at your past, that he's come through for you?
Yeah. Very much.
Decades.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's I like, yeah.
I mean, decades. You know, I probably lived most of my adult life paycheck to paycheck and, you know, month after month wondering how it's going to work. And yet here, decades later, it worked. So when I'm faced with it now, it does, that knowledge is extremely helpful in that knowing, hey, I've survived this long doing it. I don't know how.
Yeah.
So it had to be God.
Oh, yeah.
The fact that I made it out of high school alive is a miracle. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Several people wanted him dead.
Andrew being one of them.
Yes. I missed.
Psalm 37:25 says, David says, I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken. I mean, so David, looking back, you know, the Lord is faithful to his children.
Yeah.
You know.
And it wasn't an easy trek.
No, right.
It was difficult.
Yeah. You know? I think that's a good point.
I think it's one of the few times that, like, my wife brought home a Hobby Lobby wall thing that, like, I didn't just completely roll my eyes at. It was something about, like, it was like a chalkboard thing where you put down prayers that have been answered.
Mm-hmm.
And it has some nice thing on it about, like, just look at all the things that happened for us to get here kind of thing. And it's like, I was like, okay, that one's fine. That can stay.
But why do I feel like I've never seen this?
I think it got garage sailed at some point.
The second, like, best way to,
like,
buy
10 years ago?
Hobby Lobby goods.
It was like before I worked there. So it was a while
ago. Let me say this. I have a real point to make, but I also think Hobby Lobby stuff is decor is a lot like baby clothes. Don't buy it new.
Yeah,
buy it at a garage sale.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
I think when it comes to doubt, and looking back on past experiences, the two things I want to say is, I think, one, that's what James says in James 1, where he says, consider, right, or count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith will produce steadfastness. So no one is saying that trials, doubt, difficulty are going to be easy in the moment, but we really have to try to, by God's grace, stay clear-headed in it and think about the past experiences, think about what the outcome will be, that we will receive something. The reason why we're going through this trial as followers of Christ is because we lack something in our spiritual walk, and so part of what a trial will be is to produce in us steadfastness and more completeness, and so that's a big part of it. The other thing, too, is I think, Jim, what you said about if we want it to be our own outcome, or if we want the outcome to be just right, and if we don't get it, we doubt. I think ultimately when it comes down to, is God good, is, you know, and I'm doubting, is mostly, oftentimes, I had expectations. I had things that I thought this was going to do. This, I saw this working out a certain way. It's not. How could God not want what's, he says he wants what's quote unquote best for me, and this is what I think is best for me. And so I doubt your goodness, God, when in reality, we're playing with terms and we're playing with what the Bible says about God's will and God's plan for our lives. God's plan for your life is not to make it easy and comfortable. His plan for your life is to root out and take out sin and prepare you for heaven.
Yeah, I mean, God does not promise us an easy life. He's actually promised us that it's going to be difficult.
If only we would cover a topic like counting the cost. Which maybe we'll get to.
Maybe.
I thought I seen that somewhere.
Exactly,
it's in there,
right,
somewhere.
Yeah, so
yeah. It seems like the best way to fix a thing is to break it, and we're the things.
Yes.
Pretty good.
It's like it's we're easier to build back up after we've been destroyed.
Yeah. Well, Psalm 61, verse 1 says, God, hear my cry. Pay attention to my prayer. I call to you from the ends of the earth when my heart is without strength. Lead me to a rock that is high above me. And then it jumps down to verse 5 and says, God, you have heard my vows, and you have given me a heritage to those who fear your name. David had seen that God had answered and was faithful to answer him. And that's why we said it in, like, the earlier episodes, but let the word change you. Don't change the word for yourself. Like, let it change you. Read this book, soak it up, because you will find that God has been faithful for generations, and that he promises to be faithful to you if you trust him and if you depend on him. That's good things. It's good news.
I love the Psalms because it's true. I mean, again, to your point, like, we don't want to, the psalmists doubt, the psalmists have questions, God, how long, oh Lord? Or Psalm 22, Jesus quoted on the cross, mm-hmm. My God, why have you forsaken me? Has he? He hasn't. But sometimes we say it. And the whole point I was making in the first point about doubt being a part of faith was just saying the psalms don't let you stay there.
Yeah.
You don't get to stay in God, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's not where you stay. We have to move towards, I've heard one thing. It's hard to remember things on the fly, so I shouldn't even do this. But but there's a book that I read about talking about the model of lament. And a substantial percentage of the psalms are actual lament. And the general guidelines this guy gives, I have to look it up to find it out. But it's admitting or expressing your doubt and concern. And then there's another part in there where you pray about it. But then it ends up being trusting God and clinging to a promise. So it's not wrong to lament. It's not wrong to put it before the Lord and say, God, this is how I'm feeling. This is how it is. But then we've got to turn that corner and say, I'm giving it to you. You know what's best. I trust you. I will cling to the promise that you do hear my prayer and you will answer my prayer. So I think a biblical lament has to have all of that peace. Otherwise, it's just grumbling and complaining. And we know that's from Philippians, not the way to go. Mm-hmm. I'll look that up.
You know, for that person out there that doesn't have a crew around them and they are alone right now, you know, there is that the story of Job where he turns the corner. He trusts God is going to come through for him. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important that we just stop. Read your Bible for sure, but just hang in there. And if you don't have a crew, then take those steps, like assemble yourself together with people of like faith, find that place that you can be safe and just put one foot in front of the other. Because sometimes that's all we can do. And know that God will come through.
That's really good.
Yeah.
I love it. Would you finish the story?
There's more?
Yeah.
There is more.
But wait, there's more.
There's an end, like a psalm. There's an end.
I believe, help my unbelief. The follower whispered, his voice barely audible. It wasn't a declaration of unwavering faith, but a cry for mercy, a plea for understanding, a fragile offering of trust. In that moment, the follower felt the smallest stirring within, the faintest whisper of peace. It wasn't a loud voice or a clear answer, but something deep within his spirit, a quiet reassurance that perhaps faith wasn't about having all the answers. It was about holding on to trust, even when the questions remained. The follower didn't feel the burden of doubt lifted that night, but he knew, for the first time in a long while, that he was not alone in his struggle. He was not abandoned to his uncertainty. The journey was not over. It had only just begun, and as he knelt, broken yet resolute, he knew that he could take another step forward, however small, and still walk beside the Master, faithful even in his fragile belief.
All right. This has been Outsiders Podcast. See you next time.
Bye.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.